Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
In for Greg Corumbus on the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I am Brett Witterbull from Radio America, joined by National Review Online's Jim Garrity. Hey, Jim.
Brett, enjoying our week. And although I don't know about you, I think I am ready for it to come to an end. I have to get to soggy Tampa this weekend to begin the fun of the Republican National Convention week.
Well, then, no better way to get on the road than to have a couple of cocktails in you as you start to head to Tampa. You know, obviously, you'll be using a driver and you'll be traveling appropriately. Exactly. You'll not be doing any of the driving. So let's dive into our three martini lunch, starting off with what I think is a very, very, very good martini. Mitt Romney traveling all the way to beautiful Hobbs, New Mexico to give his energy speech yesterday. That's in the part of New Mexico that's got oil patch in it, part of the Permian Basin. And making his pitch for energy independence by 2020. How you feeling about this, Jim? What do you think?
I think this is, one, a very underrated issue in the kind of issue matrix of the 2012 elections. To the extent our economy has any real life in it these days, a big portion of it comes from fracking up in the Dakotas, up some parts of Ohio and New York State, a couple other places where they've opened themselves up. We actually have a domestic energy industry that is starting to percolate here and there. And so the Romney plan, you know, look, this is one of those issues in which the vast majority of public opinion is, you know, heavily in favor of produce more electric, you know, produce more energy domestically. That includes, you know, oil, that includes natural gas. Sure, Americans want, you know, they love to see the wind turbines and the solar and all that kind of stuff. But it's, you know, the difference between the Republican position and the Democrat position is the Republicans like, hey, let's go for all that stuff. Let's just, you know, if you're going to have, say, a solar company, a solar panel manufacturer, let's just make sure that they can, you know, operate it at a price that's competitive on the market. I'm not to name any particular companies in we have in mind. And so the usual, you know, argument of the Democrats and the Obama administration on the left is, oh, it's a tax giveaway to big oil companies and natural gas companies. Well, the price of gas is back up to $3.72 nationwide, and obviously much higher in a whole bunch of parts of the country. At the beginning of summer, there was this, and particularly in spring, there was perspective up. Here comes the gas price spike that's, you know, traditional in summer. There's going to be a big issue all summer long. And then, they gas prices went down about 30 cents a gallon, which was, you know, not terrible, but, you know, still generally a big hit in the wallets and pocketbooks of families all across the country. Well, now it's back up again. And I think it's going to be tough for the Obama administration to say, don't worry, the next 4 years are going to be a whole lot better under these exact same policies. And, you know, Romney will be able to point to boondoggles like Solyndra and things like that. And when he talks about, you know, just how much you can produce from Canada and its oil sands, all we can produce domestically, really in the end of it, you know, he says that by 2020, we won't need to buy any oil from the Middle East or Venezuela or anywhere else. And that would be an enormous, you know, game changer in terms of foreign policy and in terms of the way the United States interacts with the world. Great, we could deal more leverage with a whole bunch of parts of the world. So I think this could actually be a very the top line issue of the election is the economy. But I think energy is a big component of that. It's one of the quickest, easiest ways to picture creating a lot more good paying jobs really quickly.
I can add nothing to that other than I'm excited that the guy's talking energy. And I think it's something, like you said, that is an incredibly undervalued, underrated component here that this president is going to have a very tough time navigating. Here, however, comes a very, very bad martini. Well, it's a bad martini for any of us who are taxpayers. And it is a bad martini for any of us who are citizens and have any hope for the future. New report moving out there that says the president has actually added, did I read these numbers right? He's added, what, $6 trillion, and we may have another $4 trillion on top of that in a second administration. What's going on here, Jim Garrity?
Yeah, I was going to say, when you sent me the news that the Obama budget is projected to increase the debt by $4 trillion over the next 4 years, I was like, oh, so things will be improving. That would actually be good news compared to the last 4 years. I have an update on Campaign Spot earlier this morning. So sometime in the next 2 weeks, it might be next week, it might be during the Democratic convention a week from now, that you're going to see the national debt surpass $16 trillion, which is an ungodly number and enormous and depressing and all everything you'd expect. As a reminder, the debt was $10.6 trillion on Inauguration Day. So we're in the neighborhood of $5.33 trillion so far, and soon it'll be a nice even $5.4 trillion. Now, this is, you know, the same president who on the campaign trail in 2008 was going, you know, it's unpatriotic to add $4 trillion to the debt. This was criticizing President Bush, who did it over an eight-year span. So Obama is now, I mean, depending on how these last couple months of his administration go, it's not unthinkable that he could add not just more than Bush added in an eight-year span, in half the time. Obama may do more, like 50% more, something in the neighborhood of $6 trillion in a four-year span, which is just an ungodly number and egregious. I'm hoping that Ryan and Romney really go on the attack on this. And the numbers are, sorry, the what's really kind of, the reason this is the bad martini, Brett, is because even if, you know, our guys win and Republicans have a solid majority and there's, you know, an appetite for serious reform and serious spending cuts, we still have a $16 trillion debt at the end. You know, this is,
yeah.
The debt doesn't go away because our guys win the election. And that's going to result in you know, economic pressures and you know, interest payments eating up more and more of the money coming into the government for years to come. And we are hurting ourselves. And it's kind of amazing how blasé so much of the American electorate is about this sort of thing.
So basically, our takeaway is this. Our takeaway is but he did build that and made that.
yes. And you can emphasize, well, he didn't build all that. Sure. He just built like $5.3 trillion of it, you know.
Oh, this is awful. All right, Jim Garrett, I'm already getting a headache, man, and we're only two-thirds of the way into this three martini lunch. I see a very crazy one coming, though. Speaking of build that, speaking of claiming credit, speaking of trying to show that you're a pro-business great kind of a guy, I submit to you this crazy martini featuring business luminaries speaking at the Democratic convention in Charlotte, trying to make the case that Barack Obama's pro-business, Jim Senegal from Costco. What's going on?
Ironic that Costco would be the CEO who ends up coming to speak on behalf of Obama, considering how his administration has already cost us so much already. The one thing that's interesting is that, so one of the big themes of the Republican convention, when, you know, the RNC holds a little bit of briefings and previews of the speakers, you didn't build that is going to be a big part of it. We talked earlier in the week about we built this city on rock and roll.
Yes.
This is going to be one of the themes. A lot of the candidates who are speaking, a lot of the guest speakers all have some connection to being small business people, entrepreneurs, folks who, you know, it's going to be a very economy-centered convention. It's going to be all about, you know, small businesses creating jobs and how the policies administration have hurt that. So the administration clearly feels it's going to need to have some sort of response during the Democratic convention. And so they got to find somebody. Now, maybe things are going okay for Costco. I think for a lot of American businesses, it's not going better. And I think the single most, you know, the eye-popping, and you want to talk about a good crazy martini number for this, is that incomes have dropped more since the beginning of the recovery back in June 2009 than they did during the recession itself due to a new analysis of data from the Census Bureau. So the whole argument of are you better off now than you were, you know, 4 years ago, you know, Brett, it's not just that, you know, we went through a really terrible recession and then we started climbing out. It's gotten worse since we, quote unquote, recovered. So if the Democrats are looking far and wide for businessmen to talk on their behalf, there's good reason for that. You know, businesses are in worse shape. Consumers are in worse shape. Workers are in worse shape. My only thought is I assume the CEO of Solyndra might be there. Maybe some like Las Vegas hotels that have gotten to host some really lucrative, really fancy GSA conferences or something like that.
Golf course
executives. I mean, golf courses are doing fine under Obama because he keeps giving them so much business and such. Caterers for these high dollar fundraisers that the president keeps hosting. I mean, there are certain sectors. Oh, the other thing is also, I mean, to his credit, Obama has helped certain sectors of the economy since taking office, Brett. The gun sales are way up. National Review subscriptions are up. Fox News ratings are up. ratings are up. His ad rates are huge. So he does create his own stimulus. Credit for that.
That is a really good point. He does have a business record to run on then, and that is a fantastic thing that he needs to go ahead and embrace and be a part of. So just to recap for those people keeping track on how much we have just consumed, we have the very good martini, which is Mitt Romney talking energy. The very bad, ugly, awful, expensive martini, which is the massive amount of debt that we're going to be adding to this pile under an Obama second term. And then the crazy martini, Barack Obama touting his amazing business achievements by bringing various CEOs onto the stage in Charlotte to sing his praises. Jim Garrity, all I can say is I've had an absolute blast this week consuming what by my count is 15 martinis, and I haven't put on a pound. I feel really good about it. So what do you say? You head down to Tampa. You get it going on. You and Greg Corumbus hook up next week, if you can, if the phones are working, if the storm isn't knocking out the coverage. And you do a whole brand new broadcasting week of three martini lunches. How about that?
Brett, looking forward to that. Always enjoy it when you guest host. And until next time.
Absolutely. I'm Brett Winterble for Greg Corumbus at Radio America. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Jim Garrity from National Review Online. This is the Three Martini Lunch. We'll talk to you next week.
Now, baby, listen, baby, don't you treat me this away, 'cause I'll be back on my feet someday.